the love ends. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Tuesday. My name is Emma G, and if you are new to this platform, well, you have stumbled to the right place, especially if you are a parent of a teenager. Now, as you all know, this year has been one of many years and a combination of years that things have gotten a little bit upside down and inside out, especially when it comes to how we serve our young people. And moving into 2024, I thought, what better way to maneuver and support our community than by helping other young people to rediscover their voices through the power of music and songwriting? But it's not the most conventional approach to youth work. So I thought, what better way to share the stage and highlight some other unconventional, left or right, maybe a little bit fun, different ways of helping our young people navigate through life's challenges than through talking to them on this platform. So you have come across the Reconnect with Your Platform, with Your Teenager podcast, where tonight I am super humbled, super blessed to be joined all the way from Florida, Ms. Karma Reese, otherwise known as Ms. Complexity. How are you, Karma?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. It's been, you know, a crazy couple of weeks as we go into the holidays, but things are going really beautifully, especially as, you know, where we're sort of, I don't know, I feel like there's a buzz in the air at the moment when it comes to just how I see families kind of coming together and enjoying each other's company in ways that we may not have necessarily been able to do in the last few months. Which is, I think, kind of cool that, you know, the timing of our conversation is happening now, because you are more than a youth worker. You work from people from ages grade 5 through to college, through to men and women of all ages, really talking around healing from trauma, which I think is a really fascinating endeavor, especially given that you cover such a wide range of ages. Can you tell me a little bit about how you came across your work, how you decided that, you know, that serving the trauma-based child and young person is where you work, want to be?
You said a little bit, so I'm going to try to keep it short here. Of course, you can't really teach until you have experienced yourself, you know? And my life had been a plethora of ups and downs, such as everybody else's. Once I hit the age of 44, was it? 44, maybe? Well, once I hit the age, I had been through a dead end marriage. I've had two children, you know, one that went on the way to the military. And it seems like my connection with the world was just like totally different. I knew, even in my family household from growing up, that something was totally different about me. I never connected with many other people. I have sickle cell anemia, and a lot of that stems from hereditary, of course. And being sick a lot, in and out of the hospital, blood transfusions, all this. And the only person in the entire family on both sides to have this disease really is a toll. So I was never really close to anyone, but I ended up realizing that it was me alone who had to make, you know, life what it is. And with that being said, when I came out of my, I guess, shell, when I hit 44, I connected with, I want to say, you know, the universe. I started realizing about life in general and how my life had been from then until, you know, 44. Mm-hmm. Seeing those changes in things, after the divorce, after all the trauma, I decided that, you know, it's time for me to heal. It's time for me to grow. And I did just that. I healed, I grew. And from there, I was told, to, you need to actually teach others. And you need to know that teaching others starts from childhood, okay? And that's where the age is coming at. You can't really remember anything before the age of 5, right? So they say. But you can actually tap in. And being that I learned so much, it was time for me to teach others. Of course, my family was not on it. My family was like, no, don't talk about none of the past. Don't talk about nothing, you know. And, but the source, whatever source you guys believe in, but I believe in the Most High God, creator of the universe. So what source was telling me was, no, I need you to speak. I need you to share what you have learned, because this is what I put into you to do. This is why you are here. And so I started doing speaking at schools. I started speaking to people. At the time of my age, 44, it was a pandemic. And so a lot of people were online, which made it easier for me to get out and, you know, get people to come in. I was working with children organizations and things as such, teaching them to empower themselves, to open their mouth, to voice their opinions. You should not have to be quiet, because old days, children are supposed to be seen and not heard. Mm-hmm. Women are supposed to be seen and not heard. Mm-hmm. We have to change from the old ways. Life is always evolving, meaning we evolve as well. And that's why I do what others open their voice, because like I said, I was told to be quiet. Don't you ever say anything. I'm 44 years old now and I'm still talking. You still need to be quiet. Why? Why? You know, so I'm not really into all that. I talk too much now. I have 2 podcasts now. And it's like, I still hear people say, you should be quiet. And I'm not going to. I'm sorry. I'm helping someone. It's important.
That's beautiful and super powerful, because I could not agree with you more. We live in an age where it's so easy for us to minimize ourselves and to talk down on ourselves, because, you know, whether you're a child or a woman or even some men, you know, we're raised with these ideas that we need to be seen, not heard, that our voices don't matter. It's one of the reasons why I tapped into songwriting at a young age to help me feel heard. And one of the reasons why I coach teenagers to write their own music so that they can figure out ways to feel heard. I want to go back, because you mentioned that you have sickle cell disease. For those who are listening who don't know what that is, can you explain sickle cell?
Okay. Sickle cell is a hereditary blood disease. Okay. It's when your blood actually is a sickle. It turns into a sickle shape, like the actual sickle, like a sickle moon, okay, a moon shape. But our original blood cells are circle, like a full moon. So when you have a sickle cell, it blocks the flow of blood, regular blood flow. And that is what causes pain, inflammation, and of course, you know, it's just unbearable. It's like, in my opinion, it's like putting an ice cube in the inside of your bone, okay, and it melting slowly, and you cannot do nothing about it. People who have sickle cell have different degrees of, I want to say, crisis, different pain crisis. Some have 80, some have 100, some have just 20, okay? It depends on the mother and the father, which really gets me, because I'm, like I said, I'm the only one in the family who has sickle cell, so I'm trying to figure it out myself, okay? If it's hereditary, why am I the only person in the family that has it? But usually it takes the male and the female who have sickle cell or a trait or a little hint of the sickle cell to produce a actual sickle cell anemia carrier. None of my kids have sickle cell. They have the trait. So whoever they get with, they need to understand that, you know, if this person has sickle cell, we could produce a sickle cell child. And so far, so good. So far, so good. Recently, I want to say this really quick. Recently, I think in the past 2 weeks, they have developed a cure for sickle cell that has been FDA approved. I think that's the word, FDA approved. It has been approved by the government that will help others who have sickle cell to not have sickle cell anymore. So they have been working diligently on trying to heal those with sickle cell. Unfortunately, it won't work for me. I'm old and gray now, and I'm used to what I'm used to, and I'm good with it. I'm good with it. But for those that are younger, I do encourage, because the pain is you cannot see the pain. You cannot feel the pain. All you can see is someone crawling around on the floor, rubbing whatever part of them that hurts. It's an unseen and unheard disease. But if you ask a person who carries sickle cell, they say it's loud and clear, because you hear us screaming, you hear us yelling, crying, begging. It is horrendous to watch, and it's nothing that you can do. Eating healthy, keeping warm, anything that helps inflammation, anti-inflammation is greatly out there. I really put that out there. I'm not too sure how much this procedure cost in order for you to get the unhealed version. But like I said, it has been approved in the past 2 weeks. So we'll probably hear more about it in the news.
That's amazing. Film de Montaigne asked, how old is too old to take the medication?
I think from a meeting that I had with a sickle cell doctor, she said something about between 18 and 35 was where you need to actually get the whatever, I think it's a vaccine, it's actually a shot. You get from 18 to 35. I believe that's what she said. Okay. But you're going to have to experience this pain. But if you are able to, you know, if you're able to subside it by using, there's another drug that is out that I use to help me with my sickle cell. And I cannot really remember it, the name of it. Evenflow is what I use. It's over the counter, you have to order it. It's not, you know, you can't, your doctor's not going to, you know, give it to you. And it helps a lot. It helps a great deal for me. But I'm, like I said, I'm older now. So you can help by using and eating the right foods. Drinking and smoking is, I want to say you shouldn't do it, but I've had my share of doing, you know, having fun, and the cause of sickle cell happens, you know, after you drink, because your oxygen in your blood is not good and it takes away from your blood oxygen. But moderation at anything that you do is considered. Yes, definitely.
Thank you for sharing. I feel like I can relate to you on another level now, because I think one of the things that most people in service have in common is that we all come from some level of severe trauma. You know, for myself, similar to you, it's an invisible illness. I have hydrocephalus. I've had 10 brain surgeries. You have sickle cell disease, another invisible disease that people look at us and think, they're happy, healthy, high-functioning human beings, right? And I think that's really important for us to recognize, especially when it comes to the work we're doing with young people, because it's so easy for a young person to see other people around them doing well, apparently so, and feeling like they don't measure up, or they're falling behind, you know, because they are struggling with whatever they're struggling with. How do you navigate that in the work you do with the families that you work with?
Well, I was 12 years old and I was in a coma after being such a rude little young child, okay? And I'm able to transmute my story to where, you know, you see children shy away. You see children, you know, we grew up, everything starts in the home, okay? So we grow up depending on our parents, and maybe our parents aren't healed, okay? Mm-hmm. And that might carry on. I'll never forget when I was in my coma, I came out of the coma, and with me coming out of coma, I thought that I still was going to be the bomb. I still was going to be all that. And I get in the streets and hang out with the old crew, and they're like, they don't want to talk to me no more. I'm this, that, and the other. You can't hear anymore. You can't do this anymore, so I don't want to be bothered with you. And it's just like, what? But before, I was running the shots, you know? And it takes a lot. It all starts from within the home. And that trauma carried from me, like I said, till I was 44. So seeing children who are closed off, quiet, there's something that's going on. You have to see the signs of someone. And usually it's the parents that are saying that they're not good enough. Parents that are spitting stuff in their ears, making them feel as if they're not adequate. And that's where it all starts. That's where the pain is, because, well, my mom tells me I'm not good enough, so I guess I'm not. And the more that you hear it, is the more that you're going to feel like, well, don't nobody care, so I guess. Maybe even people now my age, in their 40s, late 40s and 50s, they're still saying things as, I don't think I'm good enough to do this. I don't think I'm good enough to do that. And then they will look at me and be like, why you think you're good enough to do it? Okay, because I heal, and I'm here to help you heal. Don't bash me for healing. I'm here to help you heal, okay? I'm here to help you get out of that mindset of you can't do, you can't be, you can't, because you can't. There's no such thing as you can't. He put you here so that you can. And if you let other people tell you otherwise, then that's where we have to start. We have to start with the change. We have to start with your mindset. We have to start by snipping away those people who are totally bringing you down, because they are not for you. They're not uplifting you. They're not letting you see the true potential that you are. I see it, but you're mad at me because I see it. Don't be mad. Try to be like me or get my help so I can help you, because that's all I want to do. And I'm telling you guys this, but I do not charge an arm and a leg for my services at all. $33 is nothing, okay? Not nothing. My whole purpose is I want you to heal. I want you to see the better in you, because that is who you are.
I love that. I'm really curious. You mentioned that people get mad about the idea of healing. What do you think the reasoning behind that is?
Obviously, they haven't healed yet. Like I said, the reason behind for that sure. is because they see you as who they could be, but how important it'd be like that? I'm so used to what I'm used to. And you can keep your, well, you actually can. You actually can keep old dog new tricks if they're willing to learn, okay? You have to be willing to learn, to willing to see yourself as that person, see yourself at the end of the journey of healing. They are triggered. Yes, they are triggered. They get triggered. Usually when something happens like that, if you're triggered, it means that you have to heal that part of you. Yeah.
For sure, for sure. So I'm interested to know, because, you know, you work with such a wide range of ages, from a 5-year-old or a fifth grader, which is what, 12 years old, through to, you know, teenagers through to adults, we all have different triggers and we all have, you know, different experiences in life, especially due to our ages. How, you know, as somebody who works with such a wide range of ages, what are some of the, like, the key takeaways that your clients can use when it comes to their own life journey healing through trauma?
What are, I'll say that one more time, honey.
So what are some of the key takeaways that you try to help them to realize so that they can feel more empowered to, you know, heal through their trauma?
The key is to empower yourself. Stop looking on the outside of yourself in order to find validation. Stop looking on the outside of yourself in order to be accepted in this world. Maybe you were born to be different. Okay. Maybe you were born to, you know, do other than what your family is. I swear every time I say that, I think of Coming to America every time because he is, I am not doing what y'all are doing. It's not it. I really, and you have to meet them where they are. You have to really have to meet them where they are. And when they leave me, I'm so happy because they're happy. I get to watch the transformation of I'm never going to be to, I know I'm going to get this and I am this. And it's so amazing. It is so amazing. So they get to empower themselves. Okay. And this is the self-healing that I'm talking about. Karmic self-healing. I am only a guide. I am only a coach. Show you what you already know. Show you what you already see. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing. And it's beautiful to see the transformation, especially in the teenagers and the young, in the fifth graders. The fifth graders, oh my goodness. They are amazing. They are truly amazing because they don't hide anything. They are straight up. They don't, you know, all you have to do is ask them a question and they're willing to tell you whatever it is you want to know. And when you talk to them, you can talk to them and they really get it. They really like, oh yeah, I do that. I know that. And it's so beautiful. It is so beautiful to work with so many different people in different age range that have different traumatic experiences.
Yeah. When I was doing research for my first TEDx talk, one of the things that kept coming to the forefront for me was the staggering number of illnesses and, you know, other life-threatening diseases that can happen as a result of unhealed childhood trauma, you know, and how that can manifest even from like PTSD, how that can manifest and affect adults long into their futures. When it comes to working with your fifth graders, say, as opposed to your college graduates, are there any similarities that you have found in the work that you're doing?
Oh, yes. Yes. Some of those who are older college graduates are carrying what happened to them when they were a child. That's the healing thing they have to start from. What happened in the past. And they carry it. They carry it really well. But in the depths of it, it's really like, well, it's there. It's in their soul. It's in their heart. And they haven't healed it yet. I've worked with a couple of teenagers who, you would be surprised the things that these young people have to go through. And when you are a child, you are vulnerable, dependent. So to help you realize the problem, you're kind of stuck with it. You're kind of just, I'm just can't wait till this is over so I can go ahead and get out the house. And I can't wait till I'm able to, you know, you're anticipating, but then what happens is they carry it. They don't heal from it. Carrying and hearing from it is two different things. You have to heal from it or you will automatically repeat the cycle. And you don't want that to happen because, can that last forever in your generations, from generations to generations?
And that's why they come and see people like us. I see you. Hey, thank you so much, Karma. I really, really appreciate your time today. If people want to reach out to you, obviously, they can do that for karmplexityonline.com. That's KarmPlexity online.com or Ms. Complexity LLC on Instagram. Do you have any kind of final words of wisdom that you'd like to share with the audience tonight?
Do you? My motto is each one teach one. Whatever you've been through, someone else probably has been through it too. Share your story. Do not be quiet about what has happened to you, because your story is what's going to help someone else in the future.
I love that. I love that. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody who's tuned in to watch tonight. I hope you found this conversation useful and helpful. The key takeaways that I've heard from you, Karma, are very much about like letting myself feel through the feelings, reach out for help, and do the work. Don't go through life trying to pretend that everything is good. Actually make sure that things are good. And of course, people can reach out to you if they want to work with you one-on-one to help that, help that process along a little bit more quickly. Thank you so much for watching, guys. Be good, be kind. Until next time, I will see you soon. Until then, thanks to the iRant Network. Thank you to the Patreon supporters for this channel. And be kind. I'll see you next time.
Judgment has a habit of breaking your own heart. The strength of your conviction makes you who you are. Let the change be the truth.